Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circus Studio inside the Circus Sportsbook. At the South Point Sportsbook today, we have Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, in for Matt Youmans this week, and also Vinny Maiulo. The draft, you guys, NFL draft, just 16 days away. I can believe it. Some props already available. I know that a lot of them come out closer to the draft. Vinny, historically, what have been like the most popular props that you see at the South Point?
Definitely the quarterback prop. You know, total number of quarterbacks taken prop is in recent years has been probably the most popular. You know, the over under on that one, Danielle, for sure. In recent years, total number of Alabama players over under, or SEC players, Ohio State, and Big Ten. Those are the ones that, for us here at South Point, that tend to get the most traction.
What about those head-to-heads? I like to bet those, right? Player versus player props?
Well, yeah, we didn't put player versus player, but we did put conference versus conference total number of selections, too. And again, as bettors, when you start looking at those, you can compare prices and try to, not necessarily middle, but put yourself in a position to certainly win both and get the best value for sure, Daniel.
I'm thinking my Pac-12 would probably fare better in maybe a basketball situation than here with the football.
Oh, Daniel, we got to get him to start putting up NBA draft props too.
Maybe round two, Daniel. Maybe round two, Daniel, for Pac-12.
All right, so let's talk about a prop that is up. This one at DraftKings, draft position props. So will a player go over or under a certain spot in the draft? Let's start with Justin Fields. Over 4.5 at -125 or under 4.5 at +101. JVT, what do you think?
Under. No hesitation. All right, let's go. Come on. Again, for everybody, it gets confusing. I forget sometimes. Under means picks 1 through 4.
Correct.
The wording, the verbiage is always kind of confusing. Danielle, he's going number 3. I don't believe any of the smoke here with Mac Jones. It's not happening. You don't trade away those draft assets to get a guy who's potentially available where you were. You trade up to get the third best quarterback in the draft who fits your system, I think, potentially well and actually can make it a lot better. So I think it's Fields. So I'd go under. And the interesting part is the way you attack this in different ways. You can offset some of the prices, right? Instead of betting him under that 4.5, you can go find him to specifically get drafted as a prop up there by the 49ers. Third overall pick prop, index props are up there as well. No hesitation. It's my boy Fields. Let's go.
I think he feels pretty strongly about it, Daniel.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe this Justin Fields, I'm going to say, information that came out that said that he is more of a last guy in, first guy out?
No, we hear this all the time, right, with guys. I don't know if it's like teams who want to draft him to throw it out there, if it's potentially agents of opposing players who want to throw that out there, right, to potentially hurt the draft stock. We hear this about all the guys. And unless you're going to be what's-his-face with the bong gas mask video that comes out the day of the draft, I think for the most part, pun intended, it's just all smoke. You know what I mean?
One big poker game
out
there.
All right, let's move on to another quarterback. Trey Lance, over 6.5 at -125 or under 6.5. That's sitting at +101. What do you think about Trey Lance?
So I personally, Vinny, I think reading the tea leaves, it sounds like Lance is the one that's sliding. And sliding in terms of solidly within the top 10, but being closer to 10, potentially 9 where the Broncos are sitting. But if you read all the analysis and everything, there is some tepid support for Lance because of the developmental nature of what he could be in the NFL. And that's a big swing or miss. So I would go over his draft position prop. I'm not sure if people are sacrificing assets to move up. I think teams like the Broncos are going to hold their hand, diamond strong hand, sit there and hold and wait till he gets there.
I think you're right. And I mean, they've got the 9th pick, right? Yep. So, I mean, it's right there. But, yeah, I mean, look, you've got to also see what happens before that, too. But, of course, you got to make the play ahead of time. So you've got to play general manager a little bit and capologist yourself.
Hey, I did pretty good at Madden when I was building my teams, Danielle. So there I feel like go. I got a really good sense for this, you know?
All right, what about Kyle Pitts? Kyle Pitts, over 5.5. -112, under 5.5, also -112.
Confidence again, under.
Under?
Falcons.
Falcons, number 4.
They want him.
I could see it.
It seems like the connections are pretty strong, so I'm going to go under. And even if, under. By the way, I think a lot of people just want him, he's going at 4. Even if it's somebody who trades up to get him, he's potentially the best player in the draft, and I think it's going to go under.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so Penei Sewell, over 5.5, under 5.5. What do you think? Is he going to fall in this draft now because there's so much offensive talent at the top?
Yeah, you know what? This is an interesting one because I think there's rumblings that he might not even be the first offensive lineman taken. So I would kind of lean toward the over there.
Yeah, it looks like maybe Carolina needs him. So you're
right. Lots of offensive talent. I hope there's just chaos in the top 10. Stick with us. A lot more to come up right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert, Hour 2 here from the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to your host, Jonathan Von Tobel, in for Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo. Coming up this hour, we have Jimmy Vaccaro in studio. JVT.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Always appreciate it. Energy palpable here in the South Point studio. Energy also palpable over at Camden Yards. The Baltimore Orioles have just tied things up, Fitty. 3-3. Bottom of the seventh inning. Orioles not at all up against the Seattle Mariners. They also have a runner on second here with two outs. So we'll see if they can pull this out. Montero giving it up to Baltimore.
And the Phillies got something working here. What do they got? First and second, nobody out.
Looks like, yeah, Bryce Harper just reached base. Vegas zone. Castro up here for
top
the New
of six.
York Mets on the hill. All right, we'll keep you up to date on all of those really quickly, because we were talking about this with Danielle in the first 5 minutes. Just to kind of clean this up a little bit, you and I were kind of discussing this. There are some, and again, you're reading tea leaves, smoke screens, between the lines, whatever cliche you want to use, but there is some analysis out there, people who are respected with their opinion, that there's a strong argument to be made that a Rashawn Slater is actually the better offensive lineman than Penei Sewell. You've started to see some prices kind of dip there on Sewell. You know, at some point he was like minus 1,000 to be the first offensive lineman taken. I know at DraftKings that started to dip a little bit past that number as well. I wouldn't be surprised, and that's one of the ones, the big fish that I was looking to land in the draft. Haven't played it yet, but a Slater versus Penei Sewell, or a Sewell going, you know, over on the draft position prop, something I'm looking to play there too.
Yeah, or is Tucker... USC, right? Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Another one, right? So, listen, I was I'm still high on Sewell, and again, originally, you know, with the Jets, as many picks as they had, Matt Eumanns and I talked about this early on, before this Zach Wilson discussion really accelerated, and looks, and before the Sam Darnold trade, if the Jets were going to keep him. Keep Darnold, then I thought they would go offensive line, and I thought that Sewell would be their pick, but that was about a month and a half ago. So
yeah, Elijah Vera Tucker, the interior offensive lineman for USC. So there, I don't know if Danielle can still hear me, but there you go, Pac-12 player.
Exactly. But that's what. But when you're looking at those particular props and over and under, and by the way, you hit on a key point, JVT. Make sure you as a better understand what that means,
over or under,
and you know, under typically means. Earlier, over means later. So make sure that that's denoted in the stipulation for the prop where you're betting it.
Look, I hit 100% of all of my bets, and I never make mistakes.
Right.
But there
we
is,
know that.
Right, there is 1 year. Actually, it was the first year that the draft props were up. And it wasn't just the NFL. You guys actually did that year as well, the NBA
draft. The NBA draft as well.
And there was a prop. It was Kansas players drafted in the first round. And it was set at a half. That was the year, I believe, it was Josh Jackson and Frank Mason, who were both coming out that year. And I misread the prop, and I thought it was in the draft. I was like, a half?
Ooh.
What are these guys doing?
In the draft?
Right. Like, what are we doing?
Between
here?
Round one and...
It didn't really work out. So it was a first-round pick, and I bet it. And I was talking to Mitch, and Mitch was like, no, it's first round. And I was like, oh, well. Frank Mason can go 29. Let's do this. Ultimately, it did not happen. So, hey, it's a perfect transition into the NBA. We have a lot going on in the association. Injuries. And, look, I think there's a couple of bigger topics here when it comes to the NBA and these injuries, Vinny. You and I were talking about this off the air. There's been a lot of hubbub about these blowouts, right? We're watching the Nets right now, 123-92, 350 left to go in the fourth quarter against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think you're safe there if you have a Brooklyn Nets ticket.
Not too many layups going to be contested the rest of the way here, JBT.
But I think, you know, there's a conversation about there's a problem with the league. These blowouts are ridiculous. But I think we need to remember that this second half is insanely compact in terms of the schedule and the games that these teams are set to play. The two best examples, San Antonio and Memphis, Vinny, had to play 41 games in the span of about 67 days. They had double-digit back-to-backs. These are really tough schedules, and this is why you're starting to see these injuries kind of increase, right? Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Jamal Murray, these are all starting to kind of come because, and by the way, that doesn't even include the lesser-named guys that we know about, right?
Sure.
LaMelo Ball, Malik Monk, we can go on and on about a lot of these injuries these guys are suffering.
Well,
the schedule has a really big part of it.
Listen, you've got COVID situations as well,
yep.
right? I mean, you've got teams that have that are literally playing with almost half a roster or two-thirds of a roster. And you say, well, yeah, but typically that's not their rotation anyway. Well, at this particular point, they have to get in. Yep. They've got to.
The Lakers, and, they were playing the Knicks. They only had eight guys in the second half.
I mean, think about this, right? So you know, you're saying, well, dude, why not sign somebody to a, you know, a 10-day contract and things? Look, it sounds very simple. They're trying to manage their bodies right now, right, and manage their rosters. So, JVT, it is, but that's why even more than ever, as a bettor and as a bookmaker, you've got to pay attention to the injury reports and check lineups because, again, you look at some of these games and, like today, we're talking about this game in progress here. Okay, we knew that Irving and Harden were up. We knew, but Towns didn't play either for Minnesota. These are key players, especially for Minnesota, right? Towns, if he's not in a game, what's the like? They have the worst record. They're tied with Houston for the fewest wins in the league. What's the likelihood of them, you know, even winning this game, much less contending or much less winning a game?
Yep. And by the way, too, you know, I write up these games every day for the website. Mm-hmm. The second half, it's been nuts just having, and you check the injury reports every day.
Right.
But the amount of names that are on these injury reports now in the second half, it's pretty nutty. So we move on from here. Talk a little bit about Jamal Murray, the impact of this. Because this, look, as a basketball fan, this just sucks. I like Jamal Murray a lot. He's an awesome player. When he came out that year, actually, I was very much making a case that he should have been the first overall pick for Philadelphia. But regardless, this kid going down, the fashion in which he went down too really sucks. Plant on the knee, buckles underneath him. It has been reported earlier today he has a torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the season. The other crappy part about it is at the point in which you tear your ACL, it's a good chunk of next season, too.
Next season,
but
exactly.
What this means for the Nuggets, Vinny, and we have these numbers up here. These are courtesy of Cleaning the Glass. Great website. If any of you are handicappers in the NBA, recommend it. A small monthly fee, about $4.99, but I think definitely worth it. So the net rating and what this team is without Jamal Murray. So this is just in the time that Jamal Murray is off the floor. A net rating for the Denver Nuggets, they get outscored by a half point every 100 possessions, and then you get your offensive ratings 113.3 points every 100 possessions scored on offense, but you give up 113.8. What surprised me, Vinny, when you go through some of the numbers with Jamal Murray off the court, because I think a lot of people's initial thought was, well, they still have Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is a $2 favorite to an MVP. Mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic is having an offensive season the likes of which we've never seen. They're going to be fine. Well, you run the numbers, Nikola Jokic without Jamal Murray, Nuggets get outscored by 2.8 points every 100 possessions. Their defense goes from like that 113 mark to 118.1. Their defense suffers. Now, I think it's very fair to say, well, they have Aaron Gordon now. And that's a different, you know, it's a different piece of the equation that's not factored into these numbers because these are all season-long numbers. You only got six games with Aaron Gordon. But I think bottom line, you're going to miss Jamal Murray when you get down to the postseason for a team that looked like, at least to me when I was assessing them now, like a title contender.
They were dangerous. There's no question about it. And, you know, they playing at altitude as well. Let's face it, when the playoffs come, that's certainly going to be a factor. But it also impacts their rotations, how they play the game. Who gets keyed on more now? Jokic is certainly going to draw more of the opponent's defensive attention and things like that. So, JVT, anytime you get a key player, there's a huge difference with a quote-unquote utility player going out. Yeah, does that upset some chemistry and rotation? Yeah, but to a Jamal Murray who facilitates everything that the team does, let's face it, everything goes through him. That's a huge injury, and that's why now you're seeing anywhere from 75, 80 to 100 to 1 on their futures adjusted way up from, I mean, were they 25 to 30?
Yeah, I mean, the one I saw at the Super Bowl was 14 to 1 yesterday.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go. So
then you guys are where? 80 to 1, you said?
80, yeah.
Yeah, and Westgate's at 100 to 1, like you mentioned. So that's kind of the range now here for the Denver Nuggets without Jamal Murray. Look, the road's tough. And again, you have Nikola Jokic and pulled up the numbers really quickly to the point of, okay, well, what do the Nuggets look like without Murray, but now with Aaron Gordon in the fold? Plus 7.8 net rating, offensive rating of 121.4, defensive rating still a little low, but the offense has been fantastic. So they're really good. But again, that's a short sample size. That's over about 252 possessions. You need a little bit more to get a solid picture.
Sure.
But it does suck, and this is going to be something that they'll miss. So we'll
and
see
when a playoff series gets underway, it's a whole different set of circumstances.
100%. So I teased this. Let's do it.
Hit it.
Sixth man of the year. So I put these together. These are fun. If you were on social media earlier today, I put out blind resumes, Vinny. So this is good. I want to ask you. You have these in front of you. These are two candidates for sixth man of the year. Player A and Player B. I want your opinion. Player A averages 17.2 points per game, 25.4 minutes per game. Shooting numbers, 42.2% from the floor, 34.9% from three-point range. True shooting percentage, 55.2. Points per shot attempt, 112.4 over 100 shot attempts. And his net rating, a negative 0.9 on the floor, essentially. Team gets outscored by about a point per possession, per 100 possessions. Then you get Player B. Slightly less in terms of the points per game, right? 5.2 less, 12 points per game. Minutes per game are essentially the same. But field goal percentage, Vinny, 52.1%. Three-point percentage at 48%. His true shooting percentage at 71.4. Points per shot attempt. How about that? Look at the difference, 143.2. And the net rating when he's on the floor, plus 4.4. I will ask you, between those two, sixth man of the year.
Player B.
Player B, huh?
He makes everybody around him better, obviously. He doesn't have to score as much, but it looks like he does a lot more facilitating, and the team is probably more successful.
Well, we unveil this as Player A is Jordan Clarkson, the odds-on favorite in the range of $6 to win sixth man of the year. Joe Ingles, his teammate, is Player B, who you can still find right now at BetMGM at 12-1 to win sixth man of the year.
On the same team. That's, wow, that's a rarity.
Right.
To see that.
And this is why I like numbers, right? Because
you got to play the higher price, right? I mean, given it, especially because they're on the same team.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, just look at that from that blind resume perspective. You know, I put a poll out, like, and again, it's a really short sample size. I command everything. So, you know, it's a very true sample size. But over 90%.
Senior right, analyst.
But over 90% of the poll that I put up with his blind resume was like, Player B, Player B. Look at this. Over at DraftKings, $9 favorite Jordan Clarkson win sixth man of the year. And yet we just put that up for Vinny, and Vinny was like, Player B. And that's Joe Ingles. And again, you shop
six
for your numbers.
One.
That's 6-1 at DraftKings. The number, and I just bet it right when we sat down, still available at 12-1 over at BetMGM, so you can get up twice the amount right there in the investment.
Good price.
But to me, like, when you're looking at that, there's some pretty intriguing value on a guy like Joe Ingles to win this thing.
Well, how could there not be? I mean, again, the team's successful. They're the number one seed in the West right now. I mean, they have one game. I think they have one game advantage in the loss column over Phoenix, so they're going to be certainly a very high seed. Certainly, you want them to stay healthy. But look, Ingles. Look, both these guys are good. You typically don't see two guys 1 and 2 for sixth man of the year, and a lot. Or you know, I mean, you would see that in scoring. You might see it in various offensive categories and things like that. But that's a tribute to this. By the way, it really speaks to the depth of that roster in Utah for sure.
Yep. So that is the bet I've made. That's the only sixth man of the year bet I've made. I got a couple in the other awards markets, but
very nice. So you're facilitating, you're conducting, you're the maestro of the show, and you're in action.
Let's go. That's what we do here, Vin.
I love it.
It's what we do.
See?
So we have a Tuesday schedule as well in the NBA. How about that? Some really good games on tap, too. Now, if you're up on VSiN.com frequently, you can check out the game notes, which are up today. Main event of the evening, Vinny, takes place on the best coast, which is the West Coast, Miami and Phoenix. Phoenix right now, what do we got?
Phoenix opened as 3.5-point favorites, JVT, and we did get a bet. They did bet the dogs. The dog here initially went down to 3 when we came on the air, but now back up to 3.5. The total in the game going from 215 up to 217. The Heat playing much better lately, right? Yep. 6 of 7, 5 cashes, but the Suns, maybe the hottest team in the league, right? 9 of 10.
No pun intended.
Right? No pun intended. I mean, now they haven't been as hot at the betting counter. 5 and 5. So yep. you're not making money there because you're losing with the juice. However, I tell you this, money line.
Yeah.
They're in a lot of money line parlays.
Oh yeah,
$1.60 today.
And to your point, you know, this is something I always like to keep track of. You know, in all sports, the NBA, of course. Mm-hmm. But you know, the market power rating on these teams, what you're talking about, right? Suns are winning games, but they're not covering these large numbers that are getting.
And they're big. They've been pretty high. This is a low one of the lower point spreads that they've been favored on.
But you're talking right. We had the two Houston games, which they failed to cover. Like those types of games, you're talking about some really big prices and numbers that this team is laying. But I think, and you alluded to this, Vinny, Miami has been playing so freaking well lately.
Mm-hmm.
The 6 of 7 over those 7 games that you mentioned, a net rating of plus 5.7. From a defensive standpoint, they have consistently been one of the best teams in the NBA. So I bet this game under the total. And I think this is a for a couple of reasons, right? One, you have two teams that rank in the bottom 20s in terms of pace. You have two of the top 10 defenses in the NBA at this point. A Heat team who's got the third best defensive efficiency over the last month. They've been absolutely spectacular. But also, quietly, the Heat haven't really been playing that well on offense. Like, they're not a team that shoots very well at all. Mm-hmm. They're a little dependent on the interior game. And I have a Suns team who really relying on their mid-range game, something the Miami Heat defend really well. This looks kind of like a slower-paced rock fight in today's NBA. So I bet this under 217. We've been floating around. I think it got to 216.5 throughout the day, up to 217.5. You're still floating around out there. But that is one bet I did make today. I got under 217.
So good. You're a house man because they have betted over. So we'll be rooting for you, JVT.
No, I think sounds good here. Look, see, I'm in action.
It's good to be partners with the house, JVT.
You want me to bet on something else for you? I'll do this for you.
Sure. Yeah, I'll find. Yeah, look.
We should note, too, the co-main event as well. Boston Celtics, Portland Trail Blazers. It's subjective. It's my co-main event. Again, West Coast, best coast for basketball tonight. Really good games. And the Boston Celtics have started to turn things around. What's the action been like and moving on here?
Here we have the Blazers from 1 to 1.5. You know, what I refer to, humans loves, is toggling between 1 and 1.5, JVT. By the way, speaking of, you mentioned the total. You know, the Celtics have 8 of their last 9 have played to the under.
Yep.
So they're on an under streak right now and playing better, as you mentioned.
Well, and their defense has been a lot better lately. Defensive rating over these last few games has actually
been. And this game got bet over, 227 to 230. Yeah. So consider that trend.
Oh, there's a lot of matchup stuff here, man. That was really intriguing. All right, when we come back, we have a lot more to get to. When we talk a little bit more about the NFL, we got some stuff to clean up. We talked about a little things with Pitts. We'll give you the reports on that, what we're kind of seeing there. More Major League Baseball. And the man, the myth, the legend, Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us here on My Guys in the Desert. Don't go anywhere. Kind of stumble.
The Bet Rivers Sportsbook app has a huge number of live streaming events every day. Bet Rivers Sportsbook has great offers, including a $250 match bonus on your first deposit, and all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Amazing offers and great customer service makes Bet Rivers your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. See the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Or in Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Alvari. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, the fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem in Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Jonathan Von Tobel and Vinny Maiulo.
Danielle, thank you very much. For those who are watching, as you know, you can check out Danielle, Primetime Action, Gil, Matt Brown, MSG Plus, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. MSG Plus, once more, for the audience out there. News today, for those who are capping the NBA card, Trae Young will not play today for the Atlanta Hawks. Vinny, down to pick initially with the news. Any other movement? I'm looking at my screen. Let's see here. We've got Toronto popping up. Yeah, pick pretty much everywhere. We'll see. That's going to be the adjustment. Westgate actually now showing 1.5 in favor of Toronto and a total of about 222.5.
Toronto opened as a 3-point favorite in this game on the overnight. And, we were talking in the last segment about injuries. Yep. And how many. Atlanta, by the way, the first place Hawks.
That's going to be, you know what? So I have under on the win total for Atlanta. And I'm doing really well in all of the win totals that I got, except for one. And they went on that eight-game winning streak when they fired Lloyd Pierce, and they went to McMillan. That's what screwed me, and I think I'm probably going to get cut down there.
Well, they've got seven guys either out or questionable. I mean, now it looks like more they're all going to be. Gallinari's another one, right? So the Hawks, we're going to adjust that to where the Raptors are now a slight favorite. It's gone back and forth. The Hawks were at one point were a two-point favorite after being a three-point dog. 224.5. Not a lot of movement on the total. Actually, bet it over. This total will come down as well.
Trae Young, John Collins, Danilo Gallinari, DeAndre Hunter.
By the way,
Cam Reddish,
Van Vliet, and Lowry are still out for Toronto.
And, so. Well, and that's why you mentioned the Toronto minus three. Yeah. The initial reports that I read overnight were that Kyle Lowry was fine. Like, he wasn't even on the injury report. Yeah. And then the morning reports come out. Yeah. Lowry's on it. He's out. Fred Van Vliet's out. And then now all of a sudden you get the flip to Atlanta and then the flip now back towards the Toronto pick. So it seems like a really good matchup. No Trae Young, no Kyle Lowry, no Fred Van Vliet, no John Collins. I want to watch every second of this.
You might be in this one, JVT. You might get a few minutes in this game tonight.
Of course. All right. So, and by the way, that game is final, 127-97. The Brooklyn Nets take care of business against the Minnesota Timberwolves in an early start. And now we wait, because tomorrow the Brooklyn Nets, of course, have a matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers. And
big
that's
game.
A big one.
Big game in the East.
Yes, exactly.
Big game in
top
East.
Two teams. Half
let's find
game
out who's. Let's see who's playing in that one. Yep. Should see Irving.
Yeah, we should see Irving. We should see Joel Embiid.
Embiid, yeah.
We'll see. Crazier things have happened to the NBA. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. Had a report today. Pro Football Talk had the write-up here. Terry Fontenot says that they are excited about Matt Ryan going forward, Vinny. They do hold the fourth overall pick, but they will evaluate every single one of these quarterbacks. The quote from Fontenot, that's critical because that's a position that regardless of where you're at your starter, we're so excited about Matt Ryan, but we have to evaluate every one of these quarterbacks, not just for now when you think big picture. If you have an opportunity, for example, Trevor Lawrence, when you have an opportunity to see that player in person throw, then you have to take advantage of that. Okay, you're not getting Trevor Lawrence. You're not trading up to get Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville's going to take Trevor Lawrence. Clearly we're keeping all of our options open here at this point. Fourth is not the spot you want to be in this draft for a quarterback. You don't want to reach on a developmental project in Lance. You don't want to go with like a Mac Jones potentially because he is going to be available at number four. I'll tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. And you can add to the offense. Think about how great this offense could be. We know how, at least from a weapons standpoint, how much they have. And then you go potentially add a guy who they've been tied to a lot in Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts, the highest rated receiver, right? Even more so than some of the wideouts.
Yeah, the pass catcher is the term.
From LSU and Alabama. So, but that looks good. Look, we know the Falcons need a lot of things. They need a quarterback of the future. They can get him in the second round. They pick third in the second round, I believe, don't they?
Yep.
All right. So they've got the 35th pick. Somebody's going to be there. But they need receivers. They need a lot of things, like a lot of teams that are positioned high in the draft. JVT, Falcons are one of them as well. So I think you're right. I think Pitts has got to be the favorite to go there at number four.
Pretty surprising. First non-quarterback take, and Kyle Pitts, he is the favorite, but it's at plus 140. So plus price there on Pitts. Personally, I would assume that he may be the odds-on favorite there. So maybe something to add to the list.
Are you going to fire away there?
Well, if I can find it somewhere here in Nevada, because that's over at DraftKings. Can't really find it anywhere else. All right, we'll come back. We have plenty more to get to. Jimmy Vaccaro here is going to join us in studio. He's got his McMuffin in the stomach, and he's ready to roll. Let's come back. My guys in the desert.
Welcome back in. The spring sports betting action is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with JVT, Vinny Maiulo, and now in studio, Jimmy Vaccaro.
Yep, you heard it. Thank you, Danielle. Jimmy V is here in person. What's up, my friend? How you been?
You know, I knew this youngster here when he was a young whippersnapper.
That's right.
Now he's like a middle-aged whippersnapper.
That's right.
But you're looking good, my friend.
Thanks, man. 30 does well on me, huh?
30 does well, yeah.
30?
30.
We remember your grandparents' hardware store. Yeah. How about us, Jimmy?
Yeah. Montobles, yeah.
Yeah, they used to charge a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you think we got so rich? What are you talking about, man?
Saying,
you got to make a buck.
Here comes that Vaccaro charging me 20% extra because he ain't got a freaking clue on what it should cost anyway.
That's right.
Right?
For those who don't know, the Montobles actually had the Home Depot before Home Depot back
yes.
in the day.
Yeah. Hey,
you're right.
On Maryland Parkway. Yep.
Maryland Parkway. That's were right. you a stock boy when you were like 8 years old?
No, I don't think it existed when I was born.
It wasn't?
No,
oh, yes, it was.
And I was born in 1990.
Jimmy. It was gone.
Yeah, I think Gonzo? It was gone. Yeah, yeah. I think it was
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
All right, let's skip that.
All right. Well,
it's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you. And actually, let's keep this going. We'll talk history. I saw you tweeting yesterday, yep. 40th anniversary of Joe Louis passing.
Wow.
So fill
yeah.
me in because, obviously, I'm a young kid. I'm also not a big boxing fan, but I know the name Joe Louis.
I am a huge boxing fan. So is Vincenzo yeah. because of everything we've been involved with out here in the past 40 years. And the boxing is not nearly what it used to be, that's for sure. And I was attracted to it for a couple reasons. First of all, I like the sport to watch it, and I like gambling on it. I mean, there is nothing more that, like a big boxing weekend would start on a Wednesday night, and you'd go right through Saturday morning, and it was nonstop. And obviously, things were different then, but I truly liked it. And so, naturally, not seeing Joe Louis, but, you know, what they did out of friends out of New York City, they gave him an honorary job as an honorary host at Caesar's Palace.
Yep.
He would constantly walk around. He was so cordial. He was so nice. He's exactly what you thought Joe Louis would be like when he was in the public, you know, not boxing. Mm-hmm. And then he was there. I think it was only a couple of years till then he got sick and then he passed.
Yeah.
But what they did was something like, it was like, wow. Now, at that particular point in time, I was running the Barbary Coast Sportsbook, so it's just right across the street from Caesar's Palace. So what they did, they laid him out there for one day. The line was what? Non-stop.
And they laid him in the ring. They put the ropes down, and Joe Louis was laid in state. His wake was in the ring, to Jimmy's point, and you were able to go into the pavilion, the Caesars Pavilion, outside. It was adjacent to where the outdoor arenas were, Jimmy. And people could go pay their respects.
It was something that was very, good for me to do that. I truly, truly enjoyed it. And like Vinny said, like the line was nonstop for like 8 hours. So people just kept on, and they just keep everybody moving. So it was like a 20-minute wait. So, you know, for me, and obviously, you know, Vincenzo can kick in too, those days with boxing, you can't even, and I know we have the UFC, I know we have the big card, I know we have Conor McGregor's, I know we have all that, but in my 75 years, they pale in comparison to what I witnessed for like a 20-year period from like 1979 on. I mean, first of all, it was more of a gambling out. You know, the crew when they came to town, beside backing their going to the fight, they backed their boxes with cash. And I tell the story like, and I'm sure he has a million of them too. When Tommy Hearns fought here, naturally the Detroit boy. When you saw the crowd he attracted, I mean, everybody's fly hat was about this wide. So I never forget, he comes to the counter with two tomatoes. One was about 5'10", one was about 6'1". And this gentleman was in the morning, he says, I'm betting on my man, Tommy Hearns. Well, go ahead, what do you want to bet? The little girl turned over her purse. After we counted it down, there was like almost $40,000 in 5'10s and 20s.
Yeah.
So as you can see, I guess the car wash had a good day.
Fives and tens and 40.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It took 25 minutes to count
it was
the
no,
money.
No money counted.
There was no money
counted.
Yeah.
No.
I never forget after like that following Monday or Tuesday, I said to Michael Gunn, I said, Michael, you need a money counter. What do you mean you need a money counter? I said, well, you saw what it took. It took 20 minutes to count something like that out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm glad he lost because he had to come back. We had to give him that money plus more money. So I had a lot of fun booking the fights way back when.
Well, to your point, too, like you call me whippersnapper. I love mixed martial arts. I think UFC is great. But I will say, you know, knowing my sports history, seeing what Vegas was like back in the day, the fight nights, even when it's a Conor McGregor, pale in comparison to what fight nights used to be in a big boxing match.
Yeah, there sure was. You know, and like even the up-and-comers, I saw James James Toney fight, the last fight of the night, walking out of the stands. He was the walkout fight, yeah. You know, before he fought Jones and them other guys. I saw the kid from Cincinnati. Oh, he was and he OD'd. What the hell? Anyway, he fought at the Hacienda, his first fight.
Really?
That we used to go to the Silver Nugget in North Las Vegas.
Nugget, yeah.
The Showboat had great fights. Mm-hmm. Boom Boom Mancini.
Yeah.
Fought on the strip at that broken down joint next to the Frontier. What the hell was
Silver
it?
Slipper, you said?
Silver Slipper, uh-huh. Yeah. Boom Boom fought there, his first fight in Las Vegas. So I enjoyed it. Yes, obviously now it's there. So we take what we can of it. But I love the old days much, much better.
Yeah. Well, boxing's not doing itself any favors. This is an old topic.
You're right, kid.
They got to do a lot better in terms of setting up some actually good fights. All right, Vinny, hey, really quickly, because you guys, this is great. I could talk to you forever. Your faces are lighting up. Tell me more about old Las Vegas. We only got like 2 minutes left.
Well, those fights would transcend the entire city. And it wasn't always a weekend. Hearns Leonard 1 was a Wednesday night.
Was it really?
September, it was 1981. It was a Wednesday night. But the entire week revolved around that fight. Even the weekend before and the weekend after, because everybody stayed. Jimmy, it was outside.
We
great
forget
fight.
About
15
how,
rounds.
We forget how great it was when Norton fought Holmes in 1979. It was the first. It came down to the last round. Whoever won, and Holmes won the last round. You know, the Ken Norton fight. It was like, holy smokes! And then, how about this? Everybody remembers this when Larry Holmes had his hands out like this, stopping, didn't want to hurt Ali anymore. And Richard Steele the ref or Cortez? I don't remember. And he said to the doctor, "Stop the fight! Stop the fight!" And then, how about the other great one when Cooney and Holmes fought? And you guys built that stadium right for 32.
That was
people.
The big one. It was the biggest outdoor arena. It was closer to Flamingo on the Strip. Typically the outdoor arenas were about 17,000. That one was about a little over 30,000.
Well, Jimmy, we used your time to reminisce about boxing. You cool with that?
See you later.
Okay.
He loves
right.
it.
Good to see you, man.
He loves it. He remembers it.
All right. We'll come back. We got scores to update. Jimmy Vaccaro is the man. Love Jimmy.
Awesome.
We'll come back. Update scoreboards. Mets have tied this thing up. We got a good one in Baltimore as well. Shocking. We also have an adjustment. Vinny mentioned there's probably going to be a move on the total without Trae Young. We have that, and we'll tell you what it is when we come back here on My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Jonathan Von Tobel and Vinny Maiulo.
Appreciate it, Danielle. Talk to you tomorrow. Of course, she will be on later today. MSG Plus primetime action. Kelly Bidlin already in studio getting ready to go. So that crew will be up. Very good show for you. And those of you who have MSG. Love Jimmy. Met Jimmy. He mentioned a whippersnapper. I've known Jimmy since I was the young age of 23, a producer out here at local radio.
That's JVT.
Yeah, Jimmy, sit there and talk to Jimmy for a while. Old school Vegas stuff is pretty cool. My family ties to the city and knowing everything about it. Old school Vegas would be a pretty cool thing to
experience.
A
lot of fun, JVT.
All right, we do have an adjustment. Really wanted to, a quick one to mention because we didn't get it immediately when the news came out. For those who don't know, Trae Young has been announced that he will not play today. A slew of injuries for the Atlanta Hawks now at this point. Trae Young, Danilo Gallinari, John Collins, both of their defensive wings, and DeAndre Hunter, and of course Cam Reddish, who have not been playing for a while now. Tony Snell, not available either. But on the other side, the Raptors. No Fred VanVleet, no Kyle Lowry. Mm-hmm. Raptors have been adjusted. They were a 2-point underdog before the Trae Young news. Vinny, now a 1-point favorite. And the total, as you mentioned, expect some action.
Down.
Expect some adjustment, and it is now down to what?
221. Went to break 222 from 224.5. They originally bet it over. And now with the injuries, you've got the Raptors, as you mentioned, 1-point favorites. The total down to 221. Hawks with about half their roster out. And by the way, as we speak, 220.
I like it. And we do have two, just to update the odds board. We don't have to break down every single game, but just to give you some of the action, you know, for example, Lakers and Hornets, this has been going back and forth. Now we're approaching pick at a lot of spots as well. And we saw a lot of, like, injury issues. Hornets, you know, Terry Rozier was listed as doubtful. That goes back and forth. So this went from Hornets 1.5, Lakers 1, pick. So that's been, what'd you say, toggling?
Yeah. Toggling, yes. We're at 1. Lakers 1. By the way, this is the last of their 7-game roadie.
Yep.
So they'll be heading home after this one. But now the Lakers are 1. Hornets, we open 2. Here we have it, Lakers. Lakers money, no real surprise, right, JVT? Yeah. But we see Lakers money here in Las Vegas.
And, yes, the Lakers town. I was talking to Doug Kazarian the other day on my podcast, Hardwood Handicappers. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. Like, rate, review,
good podcast.
Subscribe.
Well done.
But we were talking, you know, actually speaking, it kind of ties into the old school Vegas. There was nothing like Vinny, because this is a Lakers town. The hottest ticket in October, early October, was a Kings-Lakers preseason game at the Thomas and Mack back in the day. Remember, they used to have those all the time?
I remember. Okay, so you really want to go. How about when the Jazz played about 15 regular season games here, and the Lakers were here? In fact, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar broke the scoring record here at Thomas and Mack.
Really? I didn't know that.
You want a story? I'll give you a quick story,
go
JVT.
Ahead.
Okay. So they're here, and they had a home game the next night at the Forum. The school of thought was that he would break it at the Forum. So I'm listening to the game on the radio, and I lived at the time off of Maryland Park, about 2 miles from Thomas and Mack. I'm listening to the game. He gets within 8, and Chick Hearn is calling, and he's saying, boy, it looks like, you know, Kareem, he has no intention of coming. It looks like he's going to stay. I get in my car. I drive to T&M. I don't have a ticket. I drive to T&M. I get up the big steps, as you know, on the main entrance. I go in there. I look in. I get out of my car with about, he's 4 points shy. I run up the stairs. I look at what are the ushers doing? They're watching the game. What does Vinny do? I run in. I find a ticket on the floor. I pick it up. I go to the tunnel, right there on the mezzanine, and looking through, and the usher looks at me and goes, what are you doing? I said, I don't want to miss it. I just, you know, I was at the concession. I look in, boom, skyhook, breaks it, that's it. I go, beat the traffic, gone. Vinny home. Still got the ticket stub, by the way.
Oh, that's a keeper. That's awesome.
Oh, it was great.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's a good thing to know about Thomas and Mack, huh?
Jazz played here about 15 or so regular season games. But to your point, when the preseason game with the Lakers there, sellout every time.
Every time. It was a very hot commodity. All right, a really quick update from Major League Baseball, and then we'll get to the rest of the slate that we didn't get to, price updates, action-wise. We have some pretty dramatic games going on here at this point. Top of the 8th inning over in Arizona. How about this? This has been quite the comeback. Taylor Clark comes into the game for the Arizona Diamondbacks with a sizable lead, goes 2 1/3, coughs up 3 earned runs, strikes out 3. Then you get the rest of the bullpen falling apart here for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And this is, I talk about this all the time, Vinny. I have, over the last year and a half, become exclusively a first five bettor. You don't know the situation in which these bullpens are going to come into these games. You have no idea how they're going to be handled. I'd rather handicap my two starting pitchers and go from there. And sure enough, a game after the 5th inning, which was 5-1, is now 6-5 in favor of the Oakland Athletics. A massive comeback here for Oakland, who just destroys the Arizona bullpen to take this lead here late in the game.
And the Diamondbacks did get the betting attention because the A's opened at $1.13. We closed at pick 105 each side. But to your point, JVT, we're seeing more people interested in the first 5 innings because of the starters. They don't trust the bullpens, to your point. And that's a trend that we're seeing more and more of.
I mean, it's like, just personally, like, it's almost like if you were to bet a football game, knowing that at some point the quarterback's going to get pulled,
you're
going to
get
backup. Like, why would I bet a whole game like that?
A preseason game.
Right.
It's a preseason game. Can I bet the first quarter? Can I bet the first series?
It's nuts. Right. So you get this comeback, Oakland, 6-5, top of the 8th inning there. Top of the 8th inning, by the way, between Philly and New York, Rhys Hoskins is up to bat. He's got a runner on second with no outs, and he's up in the count 1-0. So we'll see if he can do something against May here.
By the way, JVT, excuse me for interrupting, but this is the leadoff, Matt, because this is a doubleheader. So it's a 7-inning game, so they went extra innings.
That's a very good point.
So the runner starts at second base, just like it would if it was a 9-inning game, and they went to the 10th.
Very good point. So that is an extras, even though it's in the 8th inning. So we'll see if Philly and New York can get that one done. And then we have just started top of the first inning, San Diego, Pittsburgh. This is pretty interesting because the Padres have been very much an under team, Vinny. And even going back to last night, depending on what you got, opened 8.5, closed 7.5. You got an under depending on if you got in on the opening number. Padres have not been as explosive offensively, but they're working on that here today. Looked like they closed, what, a 240 favorite here at South?
240, yep. JVT. So 220 wasn't enough. 230 wasn't enough. Let's lay 230. 240 on the closer for the Padres in Pittsburgh. 7.5 over. Was 1.8 under, but did go to 7.5 on the closer.
Well, Chad Kuhl's got some stuff to deal with here. Hopefully he can stay cool because it's a 1-0 lead for San Diego, but got runners on first, second, and third. That means bases are loaded, by the way, with two outs. So the Padres, whose offense has been scuffling a little bit to start the year, looking to add a little bit more oomph here in the first inning, get out to a really big lead. Again, pregame total 7.5, as Vinny mentioned. Shaded to the over at -120. And then finally, the final. Baltimore did make this a game, came back, actually tied it up. They were down 3-0. They came back, tied it in the seventh inning. One run in the bottom of the seventh, made it 3-3. They go to extras in the eighth, Vinny, but ultimately Mariners pull it out, 4-3 final here.
Yep, and the Orioles closed exactly as the opener. You don't see as much movement in these first games of doubleheaders, although we did see it in the Met game today. The Mets were played by 20 cents, but typically it's not unusual for us to see. Let's see what happens in the first game, and then, of course, bet the other side, bet the loser in the second game.
So speaking of second game, that's going first pitch in about 20 minutes from now. Nick Margavicius versus Dean Kramer. What do we have in terms of a number there?
That that one there will be the same, actually $1.30, but now adjusted up to $1.35, and now approaching $1.38, JVT. So don't be surprised. You'll see Orioles money continue to show right up until first pitch.
Was a year where the doubleheader trend was like hitting at a very high clip. Loser of the first game was winning the second game, and almost automatically that kind of evened out over the last season or so.
It's there were more, especially last year you kind of throw out, right? 60 game season.
Of course. Margavicius, too, give you an update, too, on what we're seeing here. Last time out, not the greatest appearance, 3 2/3 against the Chicago White Sox. He got beat up, 4 earned runs, got taken deep twice, 4 strikeouts, had a free runner in there as well. So hoping to bounce back against the Baltimore Orioles lineup. Potentially could be a little bit more limited here. National League and a couple of other games to get to. Let's talk about one of the big ones. Marlins and Braves. Pablo Lopez takes the hill for the Miami Marlins. You get the Braves on the other side with Max Fried. I think Miami got some action here, did they not?
Yeah, and let's remember this. They've only played one over so far. Their pitching has been outstanding. They're just not scoring any runs, JVT. The Braves, $1.87, so just shy of $1.90 on the opener, and now $1.65. So trending towards the Marlins. It got as low as $1.60, so we finally found that buyback threshold for the Braves at $1.60, but now $1.65. 7.5 over for the total. Oh, by the way, the Braves, plus 15 cents if you think they can cover the run line.
Yeah, the Marlins, like you said, it's been the Marlins, and it has been that Padres team early on that have been two really solid under teams up to this point. Pablo Lopez has been absolutely fantastic, giving up next to nothing in terms of contact for the most part. Now, last time out, the rare contact that he gave up, guys did reach, went 6 2/3 against St. Louis, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, one of those home runs that he gave up, 2 walks as well, 4 walks through the first 11 2/3. So maybe you want to see a little bit more from Pablo Lopez, but has been performing really well and, of course, progressively getting deeper in the first two starts. You really like to see that at this point for the Marlins. And I think that's pretty much when you're talking about this too, Vinny. I would assume the Marlins, you're looking at +1.5, -135.
Yeah.
With that pitching staff, are going to be a very popular run line play a lot of the times.
You've
because
seen,
they'll probably stay within that one.
Yeah, listen, when you've got pitching, right, and that's what you want to pay attention to. And sometimes you'll see them maybe even plus-plus if they're going up against a hotter team. If the Braves were playing, the Braves are 4-6. Let's say the Braves were, 7-3 right now. That'd be much higher. You might even see plus-plus when it gets to a certain point against the Marlins deeper into the season.
Cubs and Brewers, give us the update here. Milwaukee will send up Brandon Woodruff to get Kyle Hendricks on the other side. The boomer bust offense of the Chicago Cubs, small underdog at this point right now.
Yeah, they are. They were $1.40, the Brewers on the opener, now down to $1.18. So it's all about the Cubbies today. Yep. And a little bit of a surprise, the Brewers so far this year. 7 over for the total.
Yep, fighting Von Tobel's got a couple Brewers on that fantasy baseball team, so we need them to pull out. Vinny? A lot of fun, buddy.
A lot of fun. Tomorrow, see you tomorrow, too? Buddy. Yep. Let's right. do it. Encore.
Vinny will be back tomorrow. So will I. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel, by the way. I'm filling in for Matt Ewens all week here on My Guys in the Desert. We will be back until then. Remember, we got a couple of programming options for you. Those at MSG Plus. Make sure you check out Primetime Action. And, of course, Rush Hour coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. See you tomorrow.